The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
I want to start the show today with the deaths of two giants of Irish broadcasting. As you heard from Ellen, Micheál Muirchertach has died at the age of 93, while Tommy Gorman, the former Northern editor of RTE, has died at the age of 68. We'll hear a little bit of Tommy's interview with Matt shortly, but I want to spend some time looking back at the life of Micheál, who was the voice of hurling and football on RTE Radio for so long. Good sports commentators make you feel that you're not missing out if you're listening to a match on the radio. Great commentators, as Micheál was, they make you feel that you're sitting beside them at the game in the best seats in the house. He did it with humour, enthusiasm, an ability to describe a game in so many words that meant so much to different people, and it set him apart from many others. We'll have a listen to some of his commentary in just a moment, but his good friend Sean Kelly, former president of the GAA and Fine Gael MEP for Ireland South, is on the line. Sean, thanks very much for joining us today. A difficult day for his family and friends and the extended GAA community, but when people listened to Micheál's commentary, it was just full of sparkling wit and humour. Where did all that come from?
Yeah, I suppose the fact that he was a Kerry man, and he was also very bilingual because he promoted Gaelic as much as English, Ian, and he had a natural flow of language, natural wit, which he brought to the proceedings, but also he had an in-depth study of everything in relation to the game he was broadcasting, and that's something that might have been missed. He made sure he knew all the players, he knew all the managers, he probably anticipated the switches that were going to be made, and then he had that lovely flow of language, which was wonderful. And I think people trusted him because he was such a nice fellow. He was a very decent guy, and he had a great compassion for people. And I remember once he called to my house when my first child was born, Padraig, sometime afterwards, and he was leaving. And the next thing, he put his hand in his pocket and he took out a £50 note. At that time, which was a lot of money. And I said, oh, Jesus, my wife as well, Juliet, said, oh, Jesus, no, Micheál, you can't do that. You can't do that. There's no need in the world for that. And he just put his hand on my shoulder and he said to me, in Irish, he said, Sean, nor Dane knows, agus nor British knows. Don't make nor break a custom. And I think that probably summarised the type of guy he was. He loved the Irish heritage, he loved the customs, and he loved the games, and all that came through in his wonderful commentary. And he was, for a person who spent nearly all his life on radio, he was known better than probably anybody ever on television or in the public eye everywhere he went.
The love of GAA probably came a little bit later than people expected, because, of course, he got into broadcasting having qualified as a teacher, and it was kind of almost through sheer luck that he got into his first commentary.
That's correct, yes. He just went and had an audition, and he did very well. And obviously, at that time, nobody would be growing up thinking they were going to be a GAA commentator. Although, I suppose, in fairness, Micheál O'Hare was there before him, who also was wonderful. But for Micheál, once he got the microphone in his hand in front of a crowd or a match, he blossomed, and it was natural for him. And he was probably as good and as natural a commentator as ever put a microphone in front of him. And one of the things that I never realised until I saw a video with not too many years ago was the absolute effort and enthusiasm he put into the game. I couldn't believe it when I saw him on the video, that he was moving with every kick of the ball or every puck of the slither, and it was as if he was playing himself. And you could see the sweat coming down from him. So he really immersed himself in the games, obviously. And because of that immersion and that commitment, he came across to those of us who were listening. And definitely for many people, just listening to him, you felt you were at a game. I remember coming down from Dublin one time, I was listening to an All-Ireland quarterfinal or something. And I was home before I realised it, because I was just so enthused by what he was saying. I felt I was at the match, and that's the same for many, many more people. And indeed, it wasn't unusual for people watching it on television to turn down the television and turn up Micheál's commentary. And I think that probably summarises how great he was.
Let's have a listen to him during the 1992 All-Ireland Senior Football Final between Dublin and Donegal.
Anthony Molloy leading the man Declan Boner there, Tony Boyle there. It was Manus Boyle. He had an opportunity of a goal. He crashed it up the crossbar and it went over it. They're level at 4 points apiece. And we've 19 minutes of play of a terrifically interesting All-Ireland final. Donegal might have been waiting for 100 years to come here. The Four Masters history might have ended in 1616. But Donegal of 92 are there. But Dublin's Jack Sheedy attacking. He's got them up.
Sean, it's amazing, and there are so many we could play of his games, and that's from more than 30 years ago at this stage. But it is a mark of the fact that if you look across all the tributes today, they're coming not just from people like yourself who knew him going back decades, but from people who probably didn't even hear his radio commentary, given that he retired more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, he was, without doubt, a national institution, probably one of the most popular people in Ireland, universally loved, and that came through about 14 years ago when the presidency of Ireland came up. Many people felt that he'd be the ideal president, and he did give it some consideration, but he decided not to in the end. But I think that reflects the universal likeness there was for him everywhere, because he was special. People saw that, and he had great time for people, and everything he said or did, he meant it. And he was also, of course, because he was probably from Kerry, he was also a bit of a rogue. Sometimes he'd be pulling your leg in without you realizing it, or he'd be teasing you, he'd be asking you questions and leading you on to see what you'd say, and then he'd come in with a comment for you knew then that he was kind of having you on. So that appealed to people too, because that sense of humour and that naturalness was all part of, in many ways, reflecting how he had great time for people. He admired everybody. He made all distinctions between players, supporters and managers. They were all very important to him, male and female as well. And I think that was something that we really treasured.
Outside of the GAA, one of his legacies will be the commitment to Irish and making sure that generations continue to learn it.
Yes, and that's hugely important. I mean, he did an enormous amount for the Irish language, both in getting involved officially in certain movements, but also in his commentary, because he always threw in a few words of Askelge, the Gahanchus was something he promoted, and I think there's something we should be doing a lot more of as a result of what he did in promoting the language, because everything to do with our culture, our heritage, our language, he valued it, and he did everything he could to promote it in a very natural way, without pushing it down anyone's throat, without making people feel, maybe who had only the couple of huckle, that they weren't good enough. He was able to do it in a very natural way, and he would say a few words as Gaelga, and then if somebody wasn't able to live with him, he switched naturally into English, and nobody felt in any way put out by it. He just had that wonderful flow and wonderful personality. He really is a huge loss to all of us, and thankfully he had a long and happy life. He had a great family. He was proud of all of them. I knew them all growing up and saw them growing up, and each of them was doing better than the next one. And I think that gave him great support and great encouragement and great pride as well, because he was an educationalist himself. And the fact that he raised such a great family, I think, is also a reflection of the fact that he knew where his priorities were as well. So he was in many respects a role model for all of us.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us on what I know is a difficult day for all his friends and his family. We, of course, send them our sympathies, but it is from the stories you got from Sean there. He certainly was a legend that we all knew and appreciated and respected.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.